Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. I have to share with you a really tragic story that happened locally not long ago here in Palm Springs, California. Now, I know this is not the most uplifting way to begin a show, but there are some important points my guest today is going to make that dog guardians need to hear and think about. Today, we're going to be speaking about the risks at the dog park, the risk to both your dogs and to you. So what happened is this. In our city dog park, there are two areas, one small enclosure for small dogs, and then the much larger one for the medium and large dogs. Well, the guardian of a Chihuahua mix, for unknown reasons, let her dog run free in the large dog area. And the dog was attacked and killed by a Rottweiler. Now, I have to tell you, the Rottie had been going to the dog park a few days per week for years without incident. And in fact, I personally know this dog because he has accompanied his guardian, who is my patient, to my office. This is a sweet, an affectionate dog who would give me kisses and let everyone pet her. So look what happens. Something set her off at the park. She goes after a dog who should have not been in there and kills him. And before you know it, the owner of the Rottweiler is summoned to court. So to avoid that, what he did was relinquish the dog to the shelter, and who knows what happens then. So I would say that this could have been avoided, and the owner of the small dog should be held responsible for the attack. But let's hear from a real legal authority on this. I want to welcome back to the show attorney Kenneth Phillips. Ken is a nationally renowned expert in the law pertaining to dog bites and is very interested in what happens in and around dog parks. Welcome back to the program, Ken.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
So, Ken, what are your initial thoughts when you hear what happened to this little dog?
There was no common sense on the part of the owner of the Chihuahua. I mean, I feel my heart is broken to hear about this accident because I owned a little Yorkie myself, and I was always worried about it. But, you know, to let the dog into the area of the park where the big dogs were was something that legally is referred to as assumption of the risk. Assumption of the risk is basically when you're consenting to being injured, and that's really what went on there. So, you know, this is one of those owner-operator errors that we see so often when there are tragedies involving dogs.
Now, people and dogs really like dog parks, Ken, and generally they are considered desirable community assets. But as this event shows, there are risks involved in visiting them. Do people judge the magnitude of these risks correctly?
Well, I don't think that they do. I think that there are, that just like in any other field, there are people that are more aware and there are people that are less aware. So you have people going to dog parks that, first of all, understand what the risks are. They understand where their dog should be. They watch the dog while it's out there playing to make sure no bad situation is developing. They have their dogs on a leash, bringing them in and out of the dog park. So they're following the rules. They're doing the right things. But then you've got the other people. And those are not only, they can be people that are unreasonable in terms of how they're behaving at the dog park. They can also be people who are bringing too many dogs into the dog park. So there, you know, there's a mix of people, and you just have to keep your eye open. The bottom line is that dog parks, they're great, they're good for the dogs, they're good for the people, but they are not necessarily the safest place for every dog.
Right. And now some dogs are just not suitable to go to the dog park, right? I mean, what characteristics in a dog don't mix well in dog parks?
Well, you can't bring a female in heat. You should not bring an aggressive male dog. And if you have a dog that is timid about being around other dogs, timid to the point that it feels that it has to defend itself, or a dog that wants to always fight with other dogs, you should not bring that dog to the dog park. You should not be training that dog, using other people's dogs to socialize your own dog. You have to use common sense. You must not expose other people's animals and pets to risk by your own dog. So, yeah, those types of dogs are not the right dogs for a dog park.
So we've spoken about the people and the dogs, and I want to talk about the parks themselves. But first, speak a bit about the law, Ken, where responsibility lies for avoiding accidents and bites and fights, and who or what is potentially liable for these incidents.
The rules of liability in a dog park are exactly the same as outside the dog park, with only one exception, and that is that a leash is not required. And if you look at it that way, you'll understand the whole legal concept of the dog park. The other thing to keep in mind is that there is no extra protection for you in the dog park. In other words, if something happens, you can't go to the city and say, well, you owe me money because it's your dog park and my dog was killed or my dog was injured and there's a $5,000 vet bill. You can't do that because the dog park is a recreational area set up by the government, and as such, you can't bring any kind of a claim because that's what the law is for recreational areas set up by the government. So if you understand that it's exactly the same set of laws as anywhere else, except that you have the you can get by without a leash, number one, and number two, you are assuming a certain amount of risk walking in there. That's the basic legal framework.
Are dogs supposed to be free from transmissible disease and have current vaccinations to be allowed to go to dog parks?
Well, you know, that, again, this is one of those common sense things that you wish that people would keep in mind. And there's a whole range of these things. Of course, they should be free of disease when they're brought into the dog park, just like they should be free of those other traits that I mentioned a second ago. And many dog parks will post rules. And, you know, when you violate the rules, there's another layer of it's not law, but let's say it's regulation. And that is, if there are rules posted, you do have to follow those. So that does become part of your obligation. Many of the dog parks do post a notice that the dog has to be free of anything that any kind of transmittable disease or illness.
And how common is this, Ken, where a dog hurts another dog at a dog park?
I hear about these things all the time because on my website, dogbitelaw.com, I have always been open for people to send me email and ask me questions and tell me about what's going on. So every day I'm hearing about some dog getting injured in a dog park. Usually it's a situation where it's a smaller dog. I also hear about people getting injured in dog parks. They get, involved in breaking up a fight between their dog and another dog. That's how it usually happens. And somebody gets bitten in the process. You can get bitten by your own dog if your own dog is trying to defend itself and is in a panic. So I do hear about accidents every day in dog parks.
So let's talk about the dog parks as facilities. What makes a good dog park from a legal and safety perspective, and what are important deficiencies?
Well, one of the most important things is, where is it located? You want to locate the dog park in a place where there is sufficient parking. You want it to be downhill as opposed to uphill because of the runoff. You know, when there's rain and when they turn on the sprinklers for the grass, the water takes whatever is in the dog park and can run it down into the neighborhood. You don't want that to happen. You want there to be adequate fencing. You want there to be double gates so that, you know, the dogs can't just run out when somebody new comes into the dog park. You want it to be at a sufficient distance from residential, from homes and even from schools because of the barking and, you know, just the general distraction that can occur as a result of the dog park being there. So these are some of the things that have to do with location. Then after that, you want to have something like a committee that is responsible for that dog park. You want some people that you can actually talk to, not just a sign that says this is what you're not supposed to do and this is what you are supposed to do, because there should be somebody that can help supervise what's going on at that dog park. And I don't mean just supervise the conduct of the people that are using the dog park, but also things like are when the dogs dig holes, are the holes being filled in? Is there enough access to water? Are the water fountains and spigots working? Are the benches clean? That type of thing. So a good dog park, there's planning with regard to the location, and then there should be people that are part of a committee or some other such thing that are actually paying attention to what's going on and making sure everything's clean and neat and hospitable for everyone who's using it.
Very good. Don't go away. More with attorney Kenneth Phillips. He's the author of DogBiteLaw.com. We're talking about dog parks. You're listening to Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Here's the problem. Month after month, you pay for your home security with those silly bills. Solution? The Activator Home Security System. You plug one activator into the wall of your house. In 30 seconds, it scans your whole house. It's like Scotty put shields up. The house has shields. It's protected. If anybody touches a window or if anybody touches a door in your house, whatever you've plugged into the activator turns on. Imagine that. The guy rattles the door. The lights turn on. The music turns on. Whatever you've plugged into it turns on. Light and sound deter criminals. How about this? You come home late at night, you put your own key in the door, the light comes on for you. The activator welcomes you home, stays on for 3 minutes, and then starts to protect you. First it welcomes you, and then it protects you. No other security system has been like that before. No monthly fees, no nothing. You plug one in. Normally they're $99. But here at the deal of the week, you're not going to buy one. You're going to get two for $99. It's $200 worth of stuff for $99. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. Even if you have a home security system now, still get one, because this warns you before someone's broken a window, before someone's crossed the threshold of your house. It's a great additive to your house security system, and it's a great security system all alone. And the first 50 people won't get two, you'll get four activators. The first 50 people will get four, still only $99. $400 worth of security for $99. No monthly fees, easy to install, and a money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com. Be secure. Be safe. Get the activator. 1-888-877-0490.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to attorney Kenneth Phillips about dog parks. Ken, what are your pet peeves when it comes to people using the dog park?
I think that one of the worst things, one of the things that bothers me the most is that when a person is just really the wrong person for the dog park, or they're bringing in the wrong kind of dog. Now, I'll tell you what I'm thinking of specifically. You could have a dog walker who is using the park, and they're using it commercially for their business, and they're bringing in too many dogs. Mm. So it's not as though we as taxpayers want to support that, because we're supporting somebody in their business. I don't think dog walkers with a lot of dogs should be bringing them into the dog park. I think there should be a top limit of let's say, 3 dogs for a dog park. And then similar to that, you've got the obedience trainer who comes into the dog park and is trying to, you know, train a dog there. Don't do that there. That's not really what it's for, because it's just not fair to everybody else. And then speaking of what's unfair to other people, you've got underage kids, in other words, who bring dogs into the dog park. A kid who can't control his dog should not be bringing that dog into the dog
right.
park. Similarly, on the other end of the scale, the elderly person who is making use of the dog park. I love the elderly. I'm getting that way myself every day. But I don't want somebody who can't control their dog to bring their dog into the dog park. Worse than that is the owner that drops off their dog and disappears. That's wrong, because now there's nobody to watch that dog. Who's going to watch it? Everybody else? It's not our responsibility. So the owner who drops off the dog or doesn't watch the dog, I don't like. And speaking of owners, I don't go for even owning a dog if you don't have insurance. And I'm talking about either renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance. Both of those insurance policies usually cover accidents that are caused by your dog. But you have to check. You have to make sure that there's no exclusion in your policy. The way it works is, if your policy doesn't mention anything about a dog, then you're fine. But if your policy mentions that it doesn't cover injuries caused by animals or injuries caused by dogs or injuries caused by your unpopular breed of dog, you got to change your insurance. So I'm completely against the owner who doesn't have insurance using that dog park, because if something happens, who's going to pay? You know, the victim's going to pay.
Right.
Those are the main things that bother me in dog parks: the wrong people and too many dogs.
Very good. Ken, how do you categorize the clients you see? Explain to my listeners the elements of your practice.
You know, there are 3 types of people that consult with me. One of them, of course, is the dog bite victim, because that's the most serious type of an incident between a dog and a person. But there are 2 other things that I have gotten involved in that people don't particularly know me for. One of them is when the dog has been injured or killed. In other words, where you've brought your dog out, for example, and your dog is on a leash, and one or two dogs come running down the street and they get in a fight with your dog, and now all of a sudden you have to pay $1,000 or $5,000 in vet bills. I wrote a book for that, because this is a case that attorneys usually do not directly handle. I wrote a book for that called When Your Dog is Injured or Killed. And that book is available on my website, dogbitelaw.com. And then the third type of case that people bring to my attention is the case where their dog is being accused of being a bad dog. In other words, they've been summoned to dog court, and they are now facing penalties themselves in terms of fines or restrictions on owning a dog in the future. And their dog is facing some kind of a penalty like confinement or even being taken away from them, like in the story that you told at the beginning of the show. So that is called, I wrote a book for that. It's called Defending Your Dog, Win Your Case in Dog Court. And Lori, I'm not in favor of vicious dogs. I don't want anybody who has a vicious dog to even know about my book. But for people who are summoned before the dog court and have to defend themselves, because attorneys don't handle these cases directly, because it's very expensive for the dog owner if an attorney gets involved. For people that are looking for justice, and even people that have a bad dog but want to make sure that the sentence is commensurate with the crime, so to speak, those are the people that need this book. So those are the three things that I get consulted for. The dog bites, which is the main thing, and then when a dog is injured or killed, and when a dog is being wrongfully accused.
How do you define vicious?
Well, vicious is, that's a very good question, because there's two different ways to define it. One way is the common sense way, which is that the dog, without any kind of legal provocation, goes after a person or an animal. That's the common sense definition. Now, notice that I said without a legal provocation.
Right.
There are people that will say that, the doorbell rang and that was provocation because it caused the dog to get startled, and that's why the dog suddenly woke up and bit the little kid that was sitting next to the dog. That's not legal provocation. By legal provocation, I mean something like the dog was defending itself, or the dog was, somebody just hit the dog with something and the dog snapped at the person. So that's the common sense definition of a vicious dog. Then you have a different definition, which is when the authorities have summoned somebody into dog court because of some incident that has occurred. And that incident in some cities can be as little as the owner was walking too many dogs. All right. They may summon the dog owner into dog court and then label the dogs as being vicious or dangerous under their code in that city. So you have two definitions. One is the common sense definition, and the other is you've been labeled, you know, your dog has been labeled a vicious dog.
Kenneth Phillips, thank you for educating us about dog parks and what we need to be aware of. Ken is the author of dogbitelaw.com and will answer your email questions free at kphillips@dogbitelaw.com.
You're more than welcome. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Here's the problem. Month after month, you pay for your home security with those silly bills. Solution? The Activator Home Security System. You plug one activator into the wall of your house. In 30 seconds, it scans your whole house. It's like Scotty put shields up. The house has shields. It's protected. If anybody touches a window or if anybody touches a door in your house, whatever you've plugged into the activator turns on. Imagine that. The guy rattles the door. The lights turn on. The music turns on. Whatever you've plugged into it turns on. Light and sound deter criminals. How about this? You come home late at night, you put your own key in the door, the light comes on for you. The activator welcomes you home, stays on for 3 minutes, and then starts to protect you. First it welcomes you, and then it protects you. No other security system has been like that before. No monthly fees, no nothing. You plug one in. Normally they're $99. But here at the deal of the week, you're not going to buy one. You're going to get two for $99. That's $200 worth of stuff for $99. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. Even if you have a home security system now, still get one, because this warns you before someone's broken a window, before someone's crossed the threshold of your house. It's a great additive to your house security system, and it's a great security system all alone. And the first 50 people won't get two, you'll get four activators. The first 50 people will get four, still only $99. $400 worth of security for $99, no monthly fees, easy to install, and a money-back guarantee. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolgadgets.com. That's mycoolgadgets.com. Be secure. Be safe. Get the activator. 1-888-877-0490. Attention invention and gadget lovers, join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions and you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several hundred dollars or $20-$30. Every month it's different, but we need your evaluation, and it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490.
You got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me. Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and Akos the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both Akos and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide, and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Announcing breakthrough technology for security of your home. Simply plug an activator security system into any wall outlet your house. It's like having shields on the house. Any window, any door, any intrusion, whatever you've plugged into the activator is going to turn on. Light and sound deter criminals. And imagine this, you come home personally, put your own key in the door, the lights turn on for you. Normally an activator security system's $99, but today you're not going to get one activator for $99, you're going to get two of them for $99. Secure your whole house. Call 1-888-877-0490. Check it out at mycoolgadgets.com. That's 1-888-877-0490. And the first 50 people won't get one, they'll get four. It's buy one, get four, still only $99. Call 1-888-877-0490, 1-888-877-0490, or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. There's this phrase you sometimes hear, doggy dementia, which is an everyday term for cognitive dysfunction syndrome in dogs. But what does it really mean, and how is dementia in dogs diagnosed? and can it be prevented or treated? To find out more about dementia in dogs, I'm very pleased to welcome board-certified neurologist Stephen Hansen, who runs the Veterinary Neurology Center in Palm Desert, California. Welcome to the program, Dr. Hansen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Stephen, doggy dementia, this is a real entity, different from just a dog getting older, correct?
Right. It's not really a normal aging change. It's more consistent with, like, Alzheimer's in people. There are a lot of similarities between the two conditions.
And how common is it?
Well, some estimates say about 50% of dogs over the age of 11 can show some signs of cognitive dysfunction syndrome. And then once a dog reaches 15 to 16 years old, the percentage of incidence goes up to about 68%. So a fair number of dogs that get to that age will show some symptoms of cognitive dysfunction.
And what are the symptoms? And especially, what are the early symptoms we can look out for?
Yeah, the early symptoms can be kind of hard to detect because, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell if a dog is really disoriented or not. Definitely when it becomes more advanced, you'll see things like a dog getting lost in the house, or not recognizing people they normally would recognize. Oftentimes, they also have disruption of their sleep-wake cycle. So they may sleep all day and then be up wandering aimlessly around the house at night. Sometimes they'll lose house training. And then occasionally, a dog with dementia will have some anxiety and be a little bit agitated. Mm. It can start as early as about 7 years of age, although with most dogs, it starts much later.
Stephen, are there other degenerative diseases that cause cognitive decline in younger dogs?
Well, just about anything that affects the brain can create symptoms that mimic cognitive dysfunction. So things like a brain tumor, an infection in the brain, immune disease in the brain, those can cause disorientation, behavioral changes that can look like cognitive dysfunction. But definitely, if a dog younger than 7 were to show symptoms like that, we would really want to do some tests to rule out other things.
And how about aggression? Can that develop?
It's unlikely that cognitive dysfunction syndrome is going to turn a placid dog into an aggressive dog. However, they can be more easily startled. And oftentimes, dogs with cognitive dysfunction also are losing their hearing. Maybe their vision isn't the best. And so they can be startled, and they may be a little more prone to snap. So I think that some caution has to be exercised around a dog like that. But it's unlikely that they're going to start aggressively going after people.
How do you diagnose the condition?
It's mainly diagnosed off of the history, you know, having symptoms consistent with cognitive dysfunction. But a really important part of diagnosing it is to rule out other things that can cause similar problems or similar symptoms. So a good examination by a veterinarian is really important, and maybe also some lab work, because other diseases like liver dysfunction can make a dog disoriented. Sometimes dogs with eye problems can have visual deficits where they look disoriented. And then also dogs with painful conditions like degenerative joint disease, they may be more reclusive and less interactive with people. So if an underlying disease like that can be identified and treated, maybe the dog can be restored back to a normal level of function and be a happy pet again. If medical conditions are ruled out, then it really takes an MRI to diagnose canine cognitive dysfunction, because like I mentioned, things like a brain tumor can really mimic the symptoms of cognitive dysfunction. So that might be treated with a variety of means. And there are things that we can see on an MRI that would be very indicative of the brain degeneration that we see with cognitive dysfunction syndrome.
Are there breeds of dogs more susceptible to getting doggy dementia?
There's really no breed predisposition. It can happen in small dogs and large dogs. Both sexes are affected, so there's no way to select for a dog to avoid cognitive dysfunction.
And no research showing mixed breeds might be less likely to get it?
No, because it's not fully understood how the disease develops. You know, there are certain parts of the pathophysiology that have been worked out, like there's free radical production, and there's deposition of a neurotoxic protein called beta amyloid. But we don't really understand why some dogs develop beta amyloid more quickly than others. There may be some sort of genetic predisposition, but at this point we don't really know.
And Stephen, describe how this disease progresses. The end stages of dementia in people are pretty horrible.
Yeah, unfortunately, it can be pretty sad as the dog really loses interaction with the family. They may spend more time sleeping, and eventually they may stop eating and drinking. So you know, that can produce all sorts of other serious symptoms.
Discuss treatment of dementia in dogs.
Yeah. There are basically three things that can be done to address dementia and slow its progression. Unfortunately, there's nothing to be done to cure it, but it can be slowed. And one of the ways that can be done is just with environmental enrichment. So, you know, new toys, regular exercise, a lot of interaction, that sort of thing can improve the mental function. So a dog that really has no stimulation is more likely to have more rapidly progressive dementia. Then there's some nutritional things that can be done. Certain supplements like antioxidants, omega-3 fatty acids, ginkgo biloba has been looked at. Those things might slow the progression. And in fact, there are a couple of food companies that have made special diets, like there's Hill's BD, which has these sort of antioxidants in it that may slow the progression of dementia.
And these things...
And then the third...
Yeah, go ahead, please.
The third way is with medication. Unfortunately, there really is no medication that is consistently effective. There's a medication called Anapril, also known as Selegiline or L-Deprinil, and that's been approved for use in dogs to treat cognitive dysfunction. In testing of that drug, about 69% of dogs treated with it showed some improvement in their mental function. Interestingly, the placebo group in that study had about a 52% improvement just with the placebo. So it's hard to know for sure how much that drug works. The other thing that we know Anapril does is it causes more stimulation, both Anapril and its metabolites, which are amphetamine and methamphetamine, can just cause more arousal. So sometimes those dogs may be alert, they may be more active. It doesn't necessarily mean they're having better mental function.
Dr. Hansen, is there any evidence that dementia in dogs can be prevented or delayed in any way by enriching the lives or diets of dogs, like the things that you mentioned that could slow the progression of the disease? Is there anything we can do to prevent the disease?
Yeah, I think intuitively, based on what we know about the pathology, things like enrichment, good healthy diets, you know, all-around vitamin supplements, those things make a lot of sense. I don't think there have been any long-term studies to look at dogs who had substandard diets compared to dogs with good diets and how that changed the outcome and increased prevalence of dementia. But I think that it makes sense that having a lot of interaction, an active lifestyle, a lot of engagement with people and other animals is healthy for a dog's mental function its whole life.
Dr. Stephen Hansen, thank you for appearing on Animals Today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Here's the problem. Nail polish, hair dye, graffiti, tar. How do you get those stains out? Use Stains Are Out. Any stain, anywhere. Nail polish, oil, lipstick, pet stains, old stains, any stains. This will get your stain out. In fact, if it doesn't get your stain out, we'll buy the bottle back from you. Made with natural banana oil. Oil from the skin of a banana. Biodegradable and organic. Stains Are Out is the solution. Pour it on and get your stain out. Normally, bottle of Stains Are Out sells for $29.99. Hyper concentrated. Each bottle will make 16 bottles of stain remover. $29.99 for 16 bottles of dilution. And here's the deal. If you buy a bottle of Stains Are Out right now, we'll give you three bottles. That's 48 bottles worth. That's the deal. Buy one, get three bottles for $29.99. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
You got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You could be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
This is Dave Shistokas with some very important information for business owners and nonprofit managers in the U.S. Gulf Coast area. Were you in operation at the time of the BP oil spill in April 2010? There's a very short period until June 8th to file a claim in the BP settlement. There are misunderstandings about the settlement. Organizations located well inland, unrelated to tourism or hospitality, are eligible, and there's no need to show that the oil spill was related to their damages. There's no dollar limits on claims to be paid under the settlement. BP is legally bound to pay all valid claims. Call me, Dave Shistokas, for a free evaluation of your potential claim at 312-451-5550. Any claim not filed by June 8th will be gone forever. There's no cost to find out about your eligibility at 312-451-5550 or visit shistokas.com for more. It's S-H-E-S-T-O-K-A-S.com. It takes time to properly prepare a claim, so quick action is critical.
Attention, invention and gadget lovers. Join our invention testing club called the Da Vinci Club. Every month, we're going to send you a brand new gadget, a brand new invention, things that are not on the market before, and you fill out a couple questions. And you get to keep the invention. Maybe the invention's the new octa-core tablet that's coming up. Maybe it's the new garlic cutter. Every single month, you'll get a brand new invention, and the value could be several $100s or $20, $30. Every month it's different, but we need your evaluation. And it only costs $20 a month. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to mycoolinventions.com. It's mycoolinventions.com. How about that? A brand new invention every single month. Innovative technology nobody's ever seen before. You get to see it first. All you have to do is answer a few questions. Call 1-888-877-0490.
happen.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Thanks for tuning in and check us out at animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com.
The weather in Palm Springs has just been spectacular. The rest of the country is suffering, and living in the desert in Southern California is just a delightful thing. And however, it does bring its encounters with wild animals, particularly snakes and spiders and scorpions. And I have to tell you, I will not ever get used to this. And it's a new experience, not growing up around these animals. And as much as I want them to live happily, I just don't want to have too many close encounters with them. But we did have a nice close encounter with a snake a couple months ago when we were driving, right?
Yeah.
So we were driving along this this two-lane road near our house, and I see something down maybe 50 yards away. It could have been a sock or a garment of clothing or whatever, but no. We got a little closer, and I see it's really a snake, and it's pretty big, and it's moving and slowly S-shaped. I don't know. It was destined to be squished by somebody.
Right.
So we got out like we usually do for dogs, or mostly for dogs in the road, right? And you assumed your usual posture.
I sure did.
Hands out and just having a lot of faith in people that they're going to abide by your wishes. So I got this, I see this snake, and I figured out she's a she. She looked pretty fat and probably pregnant, I'm guessing, not really expert on these things, and taking her time just going across the road. And I was trying to get her to go into the bushes along the edge of the road, and she responded to, I would tap her tail a tiny bit. She wasn't rattling or anything like that, but she did finally go across and get into the bushes and probably went on to the golf course where we were. And I sent while I'm doing this, of course, you've got to photograph it, you know, and you have to video document what you're doing. And I sent it off to one of our local, actually a world renowned expert in these things. And it was indeed a rattlesnake and probably pregnant too.
Wow.
And looking at these videos, I'm a little, it makes me a little worried how close I was with my foot touching. And so, anyway, she got away.
Are you more worried about that or more worried about your wife being hit by a car trying to stop traffic?
You know what? I can do something about the snake.
Okay.
But you're going to do what you're going to do. So, you've had some encounters?
Oh, yes. Boy, years ago when I was in Tucson, Arizona for my residency training, this was years ago, came home late one night.
Yeah.
Upstairs apartment, just walked up, maybe 11, 12 at night. I was tired, I was hungry, I was anxious to get inside. At my doorstep was a huge, hairy tarantula.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I let out this blood-curdling scream that could have woken up all my neighbors, and it did, a couple of them at least. My neighbor who lived in the adjacent apartment complex next to me heard me, ran out, he thought I was being mugged or attacked. And ran up the stairs and said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he sees the tarantula and says, "Oh, that's just a little spider, nothing to be scared of." Went back into his house, got his tennis racket.
Yeah.
We're tennis buddies. It's the same racket he plays tennis with. And he gently encouraged the tarantula to climb on his little racket, and he humanely and gently relocated the tarantula to a little empty desert lot nearby.
Mm-hmm.
That was it?
Yeah. And it's you can't forget these.
You can't
episodes,
forget,
right?
These, right?
Something about the, not only the size, I mean, and it's, you know, it got some substance to it. It's not a skinny little legged creature. It's like got some heft to it.
And then you imagine
with
things
the
like
hairs.
He's going to, right, the hairs. You imagine
right.
He might jump.
I know.
And just, attached to your chest or something or your face.
I know. These nightmares, they just come alive.
I know.
And then
just suck your blood. I mean, you just worry
yeah.
what's going to happen. So, of course, your imagination just runs away. But, that's it. And how about our living room? Remember that episode?
Well,
this past summer.
This personally.
Okay.
So we're just sitting one evening watching television.
Right.
And again, you were the first to notice something, right?
Oh, we were trying to relax. It was like on a Saturday night, we were just trying to relax. And I saw something on my peripheral vision, some little thing run by. I thought ran by, but I thought it was maybe a cat or someone playing there. And I took a double take, and there it was, a huge little huge little tarantula.
That's a little, as I recall. Yeah.
Just walking by.
In the living room.
Walking by. Right, behind the couch. And and I screamed. I said, Peter, look. And you missed it.
Right.
You missed it. He'd already walked beyond the couch. So you had to actually go. You thought, really?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
And we found him.
You found him.
And then
I was worried that we were going to lose him.
I know. That was your main thing.
That was the main thing. I can't go to bed. And then knowing we didn't catch him in the house.
Right, right.
Crawling on my face at night.
So I used a piece of athletic equipment also.
Oh, yeah?
To,
what was that?
To the lacrosse
stick. That's right.
So pulled out the lacrosse stick
from
the garage. And you got a nice box or bucket, I think you got.
Yeah.
And I don't love this either. Similar. I don't like getting too close to spiders or snakes, to tell you the truth. And but I was able to encourage this guy to crawl up into the basket, the netting of this stick, and he didn't seem to mind. And I placed it in the bucket. He didn't seem to mind crawling into there too. And he's moving very slow, but still this notion, is he going to jump on my neck or something
like
that, you know, at any moment. So.
And this is the same lacrosse stick you bought purposely to play with our little pit mixed Cosmo, because he loves the ball, chasing the ball.
Yeah, that really works out well, especially if you know how to use one of these things, right?
It's a multi-purpose function here. Yeah. That's good.
So I love that.
Okay, good. Okay, so what's the point of this?
Well, you don't have to kill these little critters.
Right.
You can humanely relocate them,
That's
even if
exactly
you don't
right.
feel
Thank
all
you.
Warm and fuzzy about them.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
Good point. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.